నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీర్ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీనందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః.
రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 10 చాప్టర్ 31 ఎంటైటిల్డ్ ద గోపీస్ సాంగ్స్ ఆఫ్ సెపరేషన్ టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 1.
గోప్య ఊచుహు జయతి తేదికం జన్మనా వ్రజ శ్రయత ఇందిరా శశ్వదత్రహి. దయిత దృశ్యతాం దిక్షు తావకాస్ త్వయి ధృతాసవస్ త్వాం విచిన్వతే. జయతి తేదికం జన్మనా వ్రజ శ్రయత ఇందిరా శశ్వదత్రహి. దయిత దృశ్యతాం దిక్షు తావకాస్ త్వయి ధృతాసవస్ త్వాం విచిన్వతే. జయతి తేదికం జన్మనా వ్రజ శ్రయత ఇందిరా శశ్వదత్రహి. దయిత దృశ్యతాం దిక్షు తావకాస్ త్వయి ధృతాసవస్ త్వాం విచిన్వతే. జయతి తేదికం జన్మనా వ్రజ
ಪ್ರಥಿತ ಜನ್ಮನಾ ವ್ರಜ ಶಯತ ಇಂದಿರಾ ಶಶ್ವದತ್ರ ಹಿ ದೈತ ದೃಶ್ಯತಾ ದಿಕ್ಷುತಾವಕಾಸ್ ತ್ವಯಿ ಧೃತಾಸವಾಸ್ ತ್ವಾಂ ವಿಚಿನ್ವತೆ. ಮಾತಾಜೀಸ್, ಗೋಪ್ಯ ಊಚುಹು ಜಯತಿ ತೇದಿಕಂ ಜನ್ಮನಾ ವ್ರಜ ಶಯತ ಇಂದಿರಾ ಶಾಶ್ವದತ್ರ ಹಿ ದೈತ ದೃಶ್ಯತಾಂ ದಿಕ್ಷುತಾವಕ ತ್ವಯಿ ಧೃತಾಸವಸ್ತ್ವಾಂ ವಿಚಿನ್ವತೆ. ವರ್ಡ್ ಟು ವರ್ಡ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್. ಗೋಪ್ಯ ಊಚುಹು, the gopis said, jayati is glorious, te your adikam exceedingly, janmana by the birth, vrajah the land of vraja, shrayate is residing, indira Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, Shashwat, perpetually, Atra, here, he, indeed, Dayita, O beloved, Drishyatam, may you be seen, Dikshu, in all directions, Tavaka, your devotees, Tvayi, for your sake, Drita, sustained, Asavaha, their life years, Tvam, for you, Vichinvate, they are searching. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The gopis said, O beloved, your birth in the land of Vraja has made it exceedingly glorious. And thus, Indira, the goddess of fortune, always resides here. It is only for your sake that we, your devoted servants, maintain our lives. We have been searching everywhere for you, so please show yourself to us. Purport. Those who are familiar with the art of chanting Sanskrit verses will be able to appreciate the especially exquisite Sanskrit poetry of this chapter. Specifically, the poetic meter of the verses is extraordinarily beautiful, and also, for the most part, in each line, first and seventh syllables begin with the same consonant, as do the second syllables of all four lines. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೇ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾಮಯ್ಯಂ ತದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೂನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಾಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಾಂ ಸಹಗಣಾ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಾಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पदान सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो टुडे वी आर एक्चुअली डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम दिस थर्ड चैप्टर the series of chapter in the Rasa Panchadhyaya, the Gopi songs of separation. Actually, most of the senior devotees were not present on this day, so I was asked to give class, but somehow I also just shamelessly agreed for that. You have to tolerate me and I seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees before speaking on this exalted subject matter. So you may not go into the verses of this chapter. There are 19 verses in this chapter. So today I'll mainly speak about the principles of hearing Krishna Leela. And we'll talk about the character of the gopis and which is relevant to this particular chapter, the subject matter. So recently, when I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, actually, Srimad Bhagavatam itself is so exalted, and especially this subject matter, this particular pastime of Krishna, which is like the crest jewel of all the pastimes, it is the most exalted pastimes. But when we read the statements of the previous acharyas, when they express their humility, when they are writing commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can actually understand to some extent the exalted nature of the subject matter. Like recently I was reading Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary in the 7th canto. So, he expresses his humility in such a deep and profound way. In our case, when we actually speak these same words of the acharyas, it is actually our honesty. So, if we are able to appreciate the words of the acharyas about their humility, actually that is our success. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, at the end of the 7th canto, he says that, with fear and shame, I say what I know out of foolishness. Because of the pleasure it produces in my mind. And he says that actually intelligent people may become angry with me. That I am speaking such an exalted subject matter. I am speaking out of fear and shame. Although I am foolish, but it is giving me some pleasure in my mind, so I am speaking this, I am writing this commentary. And intelligent people may become angry with me, but nevertheless, I pray that may the boy with peacock feather, being favorable to me, appear before those who complain about me. So we can see, like, the deep emotions of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is, of course, this is a purport in the 7th canto. In another place in the 10th canto, he says that before beginning the prayers of, beginning his commentary on the prayers of Vedas personified, he says that the saintly devotees may actually laugh at me. They may say that I am like a merchant who is selling jewels, but who does not know the value of the jewels. So they may say, I am like a person who is trying to write commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam without knowing the value, without knowing the exalted subject matter of this book. But nevertheless, I feel no shame, because at least I give the, I will be able to entertain the devotees. So we can see, actually, when Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes his commentary, it is actually humility. He feels that he has no qualification. He is like, people will laugh at him, people will mock at him. But at least I will write this commentary to give the pleasure of entertaining them. But of course, when I speak, it is actually true that people will actually should laugh at me. But nevertheless, I'll try to speak something according to my level. And in fact, like, when we talk about the gopis' love for Krishna, just to appreciate it, we can try to appreciate through other devotees, how they appreciate. Like, for example, if you see in Kali Yuga, like 99% of the people, they come to Krishna consciousness seeking some relief from miseries. Out of artho, jigyashur, artharthi, most people, they come to take the spiritual life, to seek some relief from misery. But if we see Queen Kunti, she came to Krishna and she offered prayers to Krishna asking for more miseries. So you can see the contrast between the normal devotees and Queen Kunti. People come to Krishna asking Krishna, please actually give relief from miseries. But Queen Kunti is asking for miseries, because she says that helps her to actually remember Krishna. But that Queen Kunti, in his prayer, she says, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. So in this prayer, she is actually glorifying Krishna by so many names. Not only she is glorifying Krishna, she is also giving an indication of the fortunate position of the different devotees of Krishna. First, when she says Krishnaya, what she is indicating is that out of all the avatars of you, the form of Krishna is the topmost. Prabhupada writes in the purport, Krishna is more easily approachable than any other avatars. So she's saying the form of Krishna is the topmost. And then she says, addresses Krishna with the word Vasudevaya. By that she indicates, out of all the devotees of you, my brother Vasudev is actually the topmost. My brother Vasudev is most fortunate because of his love towards you. And then she says, but even more fortunate than Vasudev is Devaki, because of her love towards you. That's why she addresses by the word Devaki Nandanaya. And then she says that, but even more fortunate than Devaki is Nanda Maharaj, because Devaki and Vasudev, they did not have the fortune of experiencing Krishna's childhood pastimes, Kaumar Leela. But Nanda Maharaj had that fortune of taking part in Krishna's Kaumar Leela, so he is more fortunate. And then she says, but even more fortunate than Nanda Maharaj is Mother Yashoda, which she indicates in a few verses later in Gopyada De Tvaikrita. So, and then she says, Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. But even more fortunate than Mother Yashoda And she is indicating, even more fortunate than Mother Yashoda, is actually the position of the gopis. But you may see, there is no mention of the word gopis in this verse. Because Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. There is no mention of the word gopis. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti says that when Queen Kunti is addressing Krishna by the word Govindaya, the word Govinda, this name was given to Krishna by Indra in the beginning of his Kaishor Leela. And he says that that the enjoyers of this form of Krishna, enjoyers of these pastimes of Krishna, Kaishor Leela, are not mentioned because of their extraordinary nature and the esoteric nature of this love and the lack of qualification of others to taste it. So, Queen Kunti is indirectly indicating the position of the gopis by mentioning the word Govindaya, the name was given in the beginning of his Kaishor Leela, and the people who enjoyed those pastimes of Kaishor Leela are the gopis. So if Queen Kunti is such an exalted devotee, if she feels that she cannot take the name of the gopis, and then what to speak of us? So by that we can actually understand the position of the gopis. So when we talk about these pastimes of Krishna, so actually before understanding the pastimes of Krishna, first one has to understand the tattva, the siddhanta behind, siddhanta, the greatness of Krishna. So then a person can understand the pastimes of Krishna. So usually, like, people find philosophy boring and pastimes to be more easy to hear, more pleasing to hear. But actually, like, it is no doubt that philosophy is a little boring compared to pastimes, stories. But, like, we can say pastimes are like sweet rice. And philosophy is like camphor or cardamom. So when you take sweet rice, it is definitely people like to eat. But if you take cardamom or camphor, somebody gives a plate full of cardamom or camphor, nobody will eat it because it will be bitter in taste. So compared to pastimes, philosophy is a little boring. But when you combine camphor or cardamom with sweet rice, then the taste of sweet rice, it actually increases even more. So similarly, when you hear philosophy, when you hear the pastimes along with the siddhanta or the philosophy, then we can relish the pastimes even more. So that is the authorized process of hearing the pastimes. So it is like the philosophy or tattva or the greatness of Krishna, it is like the engine. Like when the people first invented the car, the first thing they invented is actually engine of the car. And then they kept on improvising the engine by which the car can run at a better speed. And then after a certain time, then they started inventing about how we can add comfort to the car, how we can add, we fit AC into the car. So the first thing which is to be given emphasis is actually engine or the tattva, and then we add comforts, then we actually hear the pastimes. So you see that the first 9 cantos, they are like the engine, which gives a momentum to our spiritual journey. And then when we hear the pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto, then we can relish it properly. That is like a rasa which adds comfort. So, like, suppose if you are going in a car, in a train, if the if you are traveling in a AC compartment, if the train is not moving, we are coming from Vrindavan, and some devotees came from Punjab Mail, and it became late by 4 or 5 hours. Just stopped in one place for like 4 hours. Like sitting in a train in a AC compartment, but where the engine is not working, is that better or sitting in a train, maybe in a second class compartment, but it is going at a full speed? So basically, the first thing is actually the tattva, and then that actually gives momentum, and then we can hear the pastimes. So basically, if you see, the attitude of sahajiyas means those who take Krishna's pastimes cheaply. So sahajiya, the attitude of sahajiya can be present in the hearer, it can also be present in the speaker. In the form of a hearer, a person wants to hear the leela without understanding tattva. And when a speaker is having a sahajiya attitude, he wants to give emphasis to leela, but he does not talk about the greatness of Krishna. So the professional Bhagavatam reciter, they directly go into the Ras Leela without talking about the other greatness of Krishna, other pastimes, or other incarnations. So like for example, like one aspect of Sahajiya in the form of speaker is that, so they give more emphasis to the internal reasons of the lad's pastimes than the external reason. Like for example, like if you see, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you see the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he married for the first time and his wife died because of being bitten by a snake. And then after his first wife died, he married for the second time. So, and then he actually took sannyas. So, actually, if you see this thing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that he is anyway going to take sannyas after a few years. If he knew that anyway he is going to take sannyas, then why did he get married second time, and then he caused so much of pain to his second wife, and then he caused so much of pain to his 85-year-old mother, Sachi Mata, a widowed mother. So it appears like a very cruel on the part of the Supreme Lord. So if we see this particular act of the Lord, there is an internal reason and an external reason. So internal reason behind Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu marrying second time is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to actually repay his debt towards the gopis. So the gopis, they actually left their husbands and the parents, and they broke all rules of morality in order to give pleasure to Krishna in the middle of the night. So when the gopis left their home, it is like a sure shot death for them. They will not be accepted anymore in the society. So they left all barriers and they came and approached Krishna. So when Krishna could not repay this particular love given by the gopis, shown by the gopis towards him in that leela. So as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to repay the love towards the gopis by marrying second time and then leaving the wife, who was a very young and chaste wife and who left his mother, and he took sannyas. That just to actually taste the love which you are experiencing towards Krishna, I am also breaking all these principles. I am also causing pain to my family members, to my young wife and my mother. So this is the internal reason for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu marrying second time, although he is going to take sannyas. But the external reason for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu marrying second time, although he knows that he is going to take sannyas, is that he wants to establish Varnashram. Prabhupada mentioned this in the purport of the 5th canto, 1st chapter. So Prabhupada says that Lord Chaitanya wanted to show living at house means living with a wife and children. So he wanted to follow the rules of Varnashram. So basically, But why Prabhupada did not highlight about the internal reason and about the external reason? But the external reason is something which is relevant for us in Kali Yuga, the practice of Varnashram. So basically, a Sahajiya is one, he gives more emphasis to the internal reason, not to the external reason. But a mature devotee gives more emphasis to the external reason because that is more relevant for the people in Kali Yuga than the internal reason. So that's why we have to understand the Siddhanta. So, and when we talk about Tattva and Leela little more, so when we hear about the Tattva or the greatness of Krishna, it actually brings humility. It actually brings submission to Krishna. And when we hear about the Leela, it actually brings affection towards Krishna. It draws our affection towards Krishna. So, both are important, but in the beginning stage, Tattva is more important. So, for example, if you see in the Gita, when Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate, iti matva bhajante ma buddha bhava samanvita. So Krishna says, one who understands that I am the source of all the material and spiritual world, such a person worships me with all the feelings of the heart. Buddha bhava samanvita. So this is a very beautiful verse, the first verse of Chatushloki Gita, in which Krishna is saying, first one has to understand I am the source of all the material and the spiritual world. So you see that, and then he says one has to invest one's emotions into him. So whenever we are emotionally connected towards a particular person, we constantly think about a particular person. The emotions can be in the positive sense or it can be in the negative sense. So when you are hating a particular person, you are all the time thinking about the particular person. And when you love a person, you are all the time thinking about the particular person. So, ultimately, we have to actually invest our emotions into Krishna. So, what Krishna is trying to say is that, it is not that Krishna is not a subject matter which is supposed to be understood simply by our head, but he should be concentrated on our heart. So, with our head, we actually understand the tattva. But with our heart, we actually invest our emotions into Krishna. So, but in order to invest our emotions into Krishna, first we have to understand the tattva or the greatness of Krishna with our head. So the goal is not simply to understand Krishna, analyze the subject matter of scriptures with our head, but to invest our emotions into Krishna, but that should take place after understanding Krishna with our head. So we see that, so when we actually invest our emotions into Krishna, then we can actually relish Krishna. So for that, first we have to understand the tattva with our head. So there is a progression in the spiritual understanding. The first and foremost teaching is like to understand that we are not the body and we are the soul. And then next we have to understand that the existence of God. And then we understand how Krishna is the topmost manifestation of God, is the Supreme Personality of God. And then to understand that, and then to have the feeling that I belong to Krishna. That means like there is a feeling of possessiveness towards Krishna. To feel that I belong to Krishna. But even higher than that, to have the feeling that, oh, Krishna belongs to me. So that is like the topmost emotion. So this topmost emotion, Krishna belongs to me, that is exhibited by the residents of Vrindavan and to the topmost degree by the gopis of Vrindavan. So especially if you see in this particular verse, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, the sequence is important. So Krishna is talking about how one should invest one's emotions into him. But before telling about that, first he says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. means like first we have to understand that he is the source of all the material and spiritual worlds, and then we invest our emotions into Krishna. So that sequence is actually very important. So if you see, even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you see the progression of the Srimad Bhagavatam, so that is also how the Srimad Bhagavatam progresses. If we understand, we can appreciate this particular subject matter. Like for example, if we see Vritrasur and Kunti Devi, Kunti Maharani offered the prayer, Tvayi me ananya vishaya matir madupate sakrit, ratim udvakhatat adda gange vaugam udanvati. So she said that, let my mind be spontaneously attracted towards you, just like Ganges water spontaneously flows towards the ocean. So she is praying to the Lord that let my mind and consciousness be spontaneously attracted towards you. And the same prayer in substance is offered by Vritrasur. Vritrasur in his Chatushloki Bhagavatam, he says that, Aham hare tava padaika mulu dasanu dasu bhavitasmi muya manas mare tasu pater gunamste grihita vakarma karotu kaya. Let my mind think about you, let my words glorify you, let all my activities be engaged in service of you. And then he says, Ajata paksha iva mataram kaga, I'm just waiting for you, just like a newly married wife is waiting for the husband. So in essence, Vritrasur is offering a same prayer as Kunti Devi. But if you see the external appearance of Kunti Devi and Vritrasur, Kunti Devi is like a widowed lady, a simple lady with the mother of five children, five sons. But Vritrasur, what is his appearance? If you read the description in the Bhagavatam, Vritrasur was tall and blackish. He appeared like a burnt hill and was as lustrous as a bright array of clouds. The hair on the demon's body and his beard and mustache were the color of a molted copper. And his eyes were piercing like the midday sun. And he appeared unconquerable, as if holding the three worlds on the points of his blazing trident. And he was swallowing the demigods. He was like eating human beings in one sense. So if you see the external appearance of Vritrasura and Kunti Devi, there is not even a, if you see a, sometimes there is like, in some magazine they say like, so match the difference and match the similarity like that. There is not even a slight similarity between Vritrasura and Kunti Devi. But the prayer which they offered is, in essence, it is same. So what actually Bhagavatam is teaching is that Bhagavatam is actually training the readers not to focus on the externals, but to focus on the internal substance of their devotion. So initially Bhagavatam is training its readers to focus on the tattva, the siddhanta, about the internal substance of their devotion. And after training the readers in their understanding of the tattva, trying to tell the readers to focus on the substance, then the Bhagavatam tells that even among the substance also has different transcendental forms. The substance of devotion also has transcendental forms, and those transcendental forms of substances are basically Shantaras, Dasyaras, Vatsalyaras, Sakiras and Madhuryaras. So if you see on the topmost, in the substance of devotion there is a gradation, and the topmost form of substance is actually the gopis of Vrindavan. So basically if you see that in the material world, like the female form is most suited to give pleasure to the male form, because the female form can act as a lover, can act as a mother, or can act as a friend, or as a servant to the male form. So similarly, In the spiritual world, in the spiritual realm also, the female form is most suited to give pleasure to Krishna. So why does Krishna, why is this particular form awarded to certain people? Actually, it is not that these forms were awarded to gopis at a particular point of time. Just to understand the subject matter, they actually eternally have these forms. But why they have this form is that because they have the topmost level of selflessness. So for that, we have to understand the definition of love given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bole Kam. He says, Kam or lust means when a person is only concerned about giving pleasure to his own senses. So actually, love is completely opposite to lust. So if you see lust, if the definition of lust is giving pleasure to one's own senses, then logically speaking, the definition of love should be giving pleasure to other senses or selflessness. If the lust means selfishness, if the definition of lust is selfishness, the definition of love should be selflessness. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives a different definition. He says, Krishnendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bole Prem. He says that definition of love means giving pleasure to the senses of Krishna. He is not simply saying that selflessness towards others is actually love. It is basically selflessness towards Krishna. That is actually love. So because the gopis exhibited the topmost level of selflessness, so they were given the topmost facility for exhibiting their love towards Krishna. The topmost facility for exhibiting love towards Krishna is the female form. And that facility is given because the gopis exhibited the topmost level of selflessness towards Krishna. So that level of selflessness towards Krishna that is exhibited by gopis in this particular pastime, that once Krishna was having a headache, so Krishna told Narada Muni that the medicine for relieving my headache is you have to get the dust of the lotus feet of my devotees. So Narada Muni went to so many people, but all the devotees they refused to give. How can we give our dust to actually Krishna's Krishna's head? But when they went to gopis, when he went to gopis, the gopis immediately gave so much of dust to Narada Muni. So Narada Muni said, are you not aware that the result of your activity, that you will go to hell for the rest of eternity? So they said that if we can give pleasure, if we can relieve headache of Krishna even for a moment, so for that we are ready to go to hell for the rest of eternity. So we see like there are certain group of people, the certain so-called followers of certain religion, they say, if you don't accept this person as a savior, you will go to hell for the rest of eternity. These people are actually nothing but KG school teachers. And they are actually giving admission to people in the KG school. So they are actually using fear as a medium for a person to take to religion, to accept somebody as a savior or something. So if you see, the KG level of religion, the KG school teacher, he says, KG level of religion, a person comes to God out of fear of going to hell, out of fear of going to hell. But the PhD level of religion is that a person worships God, a person serves God, even if it means going to hell for the rest of eternity. So gopis are in the PhD level of religion. So Gaudiya Vaishnavism is actually that. So basically, when Shukadev Goswami talks about this Leela, like when we actually hear Ras Leela, like because we have the conception coming from, we have the conception of male and female form. We should not see Krishna as a male, Krishna as God. So when Shukadev Goswami is speaking this Leela, from the point of view of Shukadev Goswami, there is no difference between Narasingadev embracing Prahlad Maharaj or Lord Ram embracing Hanuman or Krishna embracing gopis. Because he knows it is completely on the spiritual platform. But from in our point of view, because we have the conception of male and female form, so when we hear this pastime, we get reminded of our Bollywood songs or something like that. So that is the point. That's why one has to hear the tattva first. So just little bit more on hearing. So there are actually four types of hearing, or four levels of hearing. So the first level of hearing is first is called as what is called as incidental hearing. So incidental hearing means to read or hear transcendental subject matter in the order in which and with the emphasis in which it is presented in the scripture. That means like reading in a chronological manner. So when we read, say first canto, Bhishma, they also mentions about gopis. But in incidental reading, we do not delve into a particular subject matter which is being referred, although it is a more exalted subject matter. Like for example, like in the Bhishma Dev prayer, we may hear about Krishna's Rasa Leela. But hearing of the Rasa Leela in the course of one's reading, without pursuing the subject matter, is referred to as incidental hearing. So we may hear about Rasa Leela even in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. But we don't pursue the subject matter at that time. So that is incidental hearing. And the second type of hearing is actually purposeful hearing. Purposeful hearing is, suppose we are hearing, say we are reading, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhupada mentions about, so for more information to, if you want to get more information about Madhvacharya, read this book, Madhva Vijay. If you want to get more information about, this particular leela, read this particular book. So he may say that. Right? So this, then we may purposefully read that particular book in order to get more information about that particular leela or subject matter. But in purposeful hearing, devotees must be mindful of their own qualification when they want to purposefully understand a particular subject matter. And third level of hearing is what is called as practiced hearing, when devotees regularly hear specific topics or specific leelas about Krishna with the purpose of recalling them during the course of the service. Like reading about, hearing about a particular leela of Krishna. So this particular practiced hearing, it is practiced by spontaneous devotees who are still on the level of practice but who have an intense desire to attain the mood of the Vrajavasis. So it is meant for these people, those who are practicing Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. And the fourth type of hearing is what is called a specific hearing. So this is basically, it is the most advanced type of hearing in which a person meditates on the Krishna's Ashtakaliya Leela. So this is basically for very advanced devotees who practice this kind of hearing. So basically, we must know, in our level, we have to focus on incidental hearing. So, I'll just talk about one more verse in the Bhagavatam, and before we go to the next topic. So Krishna says to Uddhava, in the 11th canto, Sve Sve Adhikara Adhikare Ya Nishta Sa Guna Parikirtita Viparyayastu Doshasyat Ubayor Yesha Nishchaya. So Krishna says, steadiness in one's own position is declared to be actual piety. Whereas, deviation from one's position is considered impiety. In this way, the two are definitely ascertained. So what Krishna is trying to say is that when a person wants to progress from one level of devotion to the next level of devotion, the qualification whether a person is steady in his previous level of, in his previous stage. When a person is already unsteady and if he wants to jump to the next stage, then that is called as impiety, that is actually irreligion. So if devotees are steady in the practices appropriate to a particular stage of spiritual attainment, then they develop the qualification to go to the next stage. If they are incapable of following their spiritual duties, then they are unqualified. That means, like, when a person comes to Krishna consciousness in the beginning, like, first he is given certain services, say, washing pots and different this thing. But if a person says, like, I want to give that, sir, I want, like, one person came to a temple and he said, like, I want to do some service. The temple commander said, so what service you want? He said, I want to do that service which that person is doing. He said, which service? So that person who is giving class in the Vyasas. So what I am trying to say is that when a person is not steady in his basic process of, like, following the four regulative principles and doing one sadhana and getting up, and when a person suddenly wants to jump to do some exalted service, then that is an irreligion. So first one has to be steady in the certain services, then one has to become qualified to go to the next level of service. So basically there are two aspects of irreligion. So we have to understand this clearly. So one aspect of irreligion is to adopt spiritual practices more advanced than for which we are not qualified. When you want to jump to a certain level of practice for which we are not qualified. So when we do that, it results in fall down from one's presumed status. But there is also another aspect of irreligion. What is that? Another aspect of irreligion is to neglect the duties of a higher stage at which one is steadily situated. To neglect the duties of a higher stage at which one is steadily situated. So this aspect of irreligion results in one's being neglected by earnest Vaishnavas. So what I am trying to say is that it is not that we have to boycott the name of the gopis. First we have to deserve and then desire. So when a person is qualified and then when he deliberately avoids reading Krishna Lila, that is also another aspect of irreligion. But for that first one has to develop the qualification. So basically one is a kind of spiritual impertinence. And another is the kind of spiritual lethargy. One aspect of religion is spiritual impertinence. Like not being qualified, but you jump to other stage. And then higher stage. And second is spiritual lethargy. Because our lethargical, we don't want to take the duties of a higher stage. So these are the two aspects of irreligion or niyamagraha. So that is why, like, it is important to read one particular quote of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, during his Vrajamandal Parikrama, he said that until now, we have not arranged for the public singing of Leela Kirtan. The reason is that it is a very secret possession. But however, it is the ultimate object of our practice. So you see, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a person who strongly condemned the Sahajiyas. But he is making this statement. He says, this Leela Kirtan is the ultimate object of our practice. But in order to prevent anyone make the mistake of thinking that Anartha Nivritti is the only goal and it is not necessary to enter into Artha Pravritti, I have had Ashtakalya Leela Kirtan performances started. So sometimes a person may mistake the ultimate goal is Anartha Nivritti. The ultimate goal is not Anartha Nivritti but Artha Pravritti. So in order that people do not mistake that the goal is not Anartha Nivritti, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur started that Leela Kirtan. So he said, I know that you are not all ready to hear such Kirtan. But I want you to know that such a transcendental ideal exists within the realm of devotion, which is the reason that you must engage in Anartha Nivritti. So after Anartha Nivritti comes Artha Pravritti. And then he mentions, if we do not know that this is the goal, If we do not know that artha pravritti is the goal, then all our efforts may become transformed into impersonalism. So that means that is why it is not that we boycott the names of the gopis, because we have been reading Srimad Bhagavatam right from the first canto, so we are pursuing the subject matter in an incidental manner, and we give a general presentation on this Rasleela. So, and then Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur, but whom is it meant for? He says that it is meant for that one who is steadily practicing Krishna consciousness, chanting the holy names for 15 or 20 years, they should take note of this. And all those who are beginners, one who is steadily practicing for 10 to 15 years, 15 to 20 years, and who is eager for the service, so for they can take to it, according to Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur's words. So basically, this is something I just wanted to mention about this principle of hearing Krishna Leela. And so another thing which I wanted to mention about this, like Sukadeva Goswami mentions at the end of this Leela, the last verse in the Ras Leela, he says, Vikriditam Vrajavadobi Ridamcha Vishnu Shraddhanvito Anushuniyat Atavarnayedya. So he says, Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pratilabhya Kamam. He says that one who hears this pastime of Krishna with the gopis, he will get two results. Bhaktim Param Bhagavati. He will get the topmost bhakti for Krishna. So here the word Bhaktim Param, it refers to actually Prema Bhakti. So because it is the topmost pastime of Krishna, the result also has to be topmost. And what is the topmost result? It is actually Prema Bhakti towards the Lord. And as a secondary byproduct, Hridrogam Ash Apahinoti. As a secondary byproduct, the heart's desire of lust is actually eradicated. That is gone. So, but the qualification for hearing the topmost Leela is Shraddhanvito, with faith. But when we hear, one may say, one has to hear with faith. That means, actually if you see, anybody who comes to enter the temple, that he has some faith. The fact that a person has chosen to say, come to a temple, that means he has some faith. So does it refer to any kind of faith? Or does it refer to a different level of faith? So because it is the topmost pastime, the result is also topmost. And the qualification of faith is also, it's not just any beginner's faith. Here the word Shraddha refers to the topmost faith. So Prabhupada, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, in regards to this word Shraddha, he says that with great faith and the transcendentally, spiritually inspired mind, then when he hears Ras Leela, then one will get these results, Prema Bhakti, and the heart's desire of lust will be eradicated. So it is like suppose if a person is say going to participate in a say car race tournament, and if a person goes to participate in a car race tournament, say grand, what do you say, some Grand Prix or something, but with a 1950 model of Ambassador car, so that is like foolish actually. So in one sense, all you need is a car to participate in the car race tournament. But they definitely not mean some Ambassador car of the 1950s to participate. So you need the latest sports version of the car. So similarly, in one sense, when they say that you need faith, when you hear with faith this Ras Leela, then you will get this result. But here faith does not mean the beginner's faith. It refers to the great faith with a transcendentally spiritually inspired mind. So I will just briefly mention something about this Gopi Geet, and then we'll end the class. So basically, if you see this Gopi Geet, so these prayers were offered by gopis when they were feeling, when they were in separation from Krishna. So Krishna suddenly disappeared from the Ras Leela, and gopis were offering these prayers. The essential theme of these prayers is that that they are praying to Krishna, please come back. So one thing we see, here it is mentioned Gopiya Vuchihu. So it is mentioned in the plural. So actually, Vishnu Chakravarti says, each of this prayer is offered by different gopi. Each of this prayer is offered by different gopi. So, one thing we can see, that each gopi is actually expressing her heart, but at the same time, they are also expressing the collective agony of all the gopis. So each gopi is expressing her own feelings of the heart, but at the same time, they are pleading on behalf of all the gopis. Please come back. So that means we can see from the Gopi Gita the transcendental level of unity amidst diversity. So in Krishna consciousness, there is a room for to express our individual talent or individual desire to serve Krishna in a particular manner. And at the same time, we have to be, at the same time, that individual talent, it should not actually contradict with the relationship with others. It should not contradict with the actual needs of the mission. So they are expressing their own heart. At the same time, they are actually praying on behalf of all the gopis. So this is the unity among diversity. So in one sense, usually when a person, when something goes wrong in our life, so usually a person becomes angry. So when we become angry, our anger goes in different direction. Sometimes we become, we show our anger, we express our anger outwards in the sense that we become angry with the person who did something wrong to us. And we say, we start blaming the other person. Or we can show our anger inwards. It means like, we think, oh, I am only the cause of this problem. But then, we know that it is because of our own karma, but then we contemplate, and I am the cause, but we go into depression. Or the third level is that, we may show our anger towards God. We may show our anger upwards. We start blaming God. So, but here the gopis, when we show our anger towards God, then we actually disconnect ourselves from God. But here the gopis, actually Krishna rejected them, Krishna disappeared. So it appears that gopis, they may be angry in certain verses, or when Krishna returns back in the next chapter, you will see some of the gopis were so angry towards Krishna, and then Krishna pacifies the last 6 verses of the next chapter. But they are not resentful towards Krishna. But they are actually prayerfully offering these prayers. Offering these prayers to Krishna. So similarly, from this we can learn that we can actually express our emotions towards Krishna when we actually go through certain situations. But we need not become angry with Krishna. Because the fact that Krishna is still staying with us as a super soul, that means Krishna definitely loves us. But usually a person will not stay with a person whom he does not love. So, like that. So, Hridayananda Maharaj writes in the purport about the meter used in the Gopi Gita. So you see that, like in the most of the Vedic verses, the common meter which is used is like Anushtup, like Bhagavad Gita, most of the verses are like Anushtup meter is used. But in this Gopi Gita, the meter which is used is Trishtup meter. And in Trishtup meter also there is a particular kind of variety called as Rajahamsi that is used. Because that is able to, by that they are able to convey the emotions of their heart. Like suppose when a person goes for a condolence meeting. So if you have to sing a particular, you have to sing some Hare Krishna, you have to choose a particular tune. So you can't use, if you choose some other tune, then you may think, oh, this person is happy that this person has died. So similarly, because gopis are in separation, they are singing the songs in a particular meter. And especially the last verse, the 19th verse of this chapter, in that a particular kind of Trishtup meter is used, that is called Shakahari, because the last verse is the most fervent prayer offered by the gopis. So, In this way, we see that this is something, of course, I prepared much more, but I would like to end here. So in summary, what we discussed in this class is that, finally at the end, when we talk about these feelings of separation, because these gopis were speaking these prayers in the mood of separation from Krishna. So I would like to stop with this. So when we see this, when the gopis actually left their houses and then they went to meet Krishna in the middle of the night. So what is the lesson in our level? What is the Siddhanta in our level, this Rasalila? So if we see, the gopis, for a woman, the topmost principle for women is actually chastity. So the gopis, they actually broke this principle of chastity in order to come to give pleasure to Krishna. So the Siddhanta which is being established is this, Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjita. So whatever is favorable to please Krishna, you accept it, and whatever is unfavorable, you reject it. So in the case of the gopis, chastity was unfavorable at that particular time, so they rejected that principle and they went to give pleasure to Krishna. So in one sense, to exactly imitate the gopis, it is actually most easy in Kali Yuga. Because in Kali Yuga, suppose in a city like Bombay, some girl or somebody leaves in the middle of the night or something, it will not be considered a big mistake or something like that. So when the society is so immoral, where the sin is being glamorized, but to follow the principle of Anukulyasya Sankalpa and Pratikulyasya Varjita, that is actually more difficult. To imitate the activity is easy, but to follow the principle is more difficult. So what is favorable for one person to please Krishna, that may be unfavorable for other person. So in the case of the gopis, what was favorable to please Krishna is to reject their duty according to Varnashram, that is to reject chastity. But in our case, that what is favorable to please Krishna is actually, in most of the cases, it is to follow our duties also. So we have to understand the principle and apply the principle and understand what is favorable and unfavorable in our case. And talking about the feelings of separation, actually separation actually tests a person's love. So what does it translate, how does it translate in our level means? That means, at least according to my understanding, it is like going from the stage of Kanishtha Adhikari to Madhyam Adhikari. So in the stage of Kanishtha Adhikari, we express our love only in the presence of a spiritual master or the Supreme Lord, in the presence of the deity. So in being separated from the Supreme Lord or his representative, and in being separated from the spiritual paraphernalia, what is our feeling? So that actually determines our actually love. In the case of separation is like a wind. And in the case of gopis, their love is like a blazing fire. So when there is wind, when there is separation, their love actually increased even more. But in our case, our love is like a spark. So when there is separation, our love gets extinguished. When there is a wind, our love gets extinguished. So our advancement is, in our level, these feelings of separation means progressing from the stage of Kanishtha Adhikari to Madhyam Adhikari. Means even in the absence of the spiritual atmosphere, what are our thoughts? That means in the presence of the devotees, sitting in a potent place like Vyasasana, so naturally, the eagerness of the devotees makes us bring out certain valuable high thoughts. But what will be our thoughts after we get out from this seat, that actually determines how much we have imbibed these teachings. So this is something I wanted to speak about. So in briefly, we talked about the difference between Tattva and Leela, and to understand about the importance of Tattva and Siddhanta in the beginning, and then understand the pastimes. And then we talked about the position of the gopis and the feelings of separation, and the lesson we learned from the Rasleela. So I'll stop here. So I think since it is beyond time, I'll not take any questions. And if anybody has any questions, we'll discuss personally. Rantaran Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.